Mark chapter number 11. We're going to read a few verses of scripture, and I'm picking up on a theme that I had on my heart Sunday night as we shared with you. I want you to stand, please, while I read the Word of God. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, this is previous to this, before Jesus had looked for fruit on the fig tree, had none, and then he spoke to it and it dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remember and saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I pause there to give you a verse of scripture. I always compare scripture with scripture. In 1 John 5:4, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so here he's talking about, but giving an illustration about what real faith can do. And say the mountain, did he mean what he said? I believe Jesus meant exactly what he said. And if that be the will of God, and you prayed and believed it, then God said it to come to pass. And therefore I say unto you, what things ever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, that's a great verse of scripture. There's a great truth said in that. And said, what you desire in your heart ought to be a godly desire of God, the Holy Spirit's helping you pray, giving you the right burden in your heart. And what you desire is of God. Then believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. And I want to read those two verses because they tie in with our praying, that we need to forgive others. If we expect God to hear us and answer our prayer, then there must be forgiveness in our hearts for others that we do that. Or God said he wouldn't hear our prayers. And so we need to forgive. And how we need that. I was reading in the Sword of the Lord. They sent a bunch to us. We put some out. And one of them in there is some hindrances to revival. And one of those is lack of faith. Lack of faith. Just believing God. Then he has something in there about forgiveness. And it's a good article. If you pick up one of those papers, read that article. And because some great truths about revival are in there. And I'm concerned about having real revival. Brother Mark said about a while ago, shouting service, I love them. I love getting a shout. When God breathes through and it's the glory comes down, I love it. I praise God for it. And I'm looking for God to manifest himself. And we ought to have some glory in our hearts and some joy in our soul. We need that. We ought to have that. But I tell you, I'm looking for God to do something deep inside to give us a real burden about souls. And help us to be actively involved in trying to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm concerned tonight about my faith and how I believe God and trusting him to help us in this. Believe him. We're praying for revival. We're praying for our country. We're praying for souls. We're praying for things. But what do we really expect? What do we really expect? If he said here in this word, if we really believe him and if we desire it, if we ask him, and really faith believing said you shall receive them. And so let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Ask God to help us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name now you'd help us, Lord, as we think about this scripture and thinking about this word faith and praying for that leadership of the Holy Spirit. God, help me tonight to be able to say what I need to say. And I pray the Holy Spirit, God, would so saturate my mind and heart that I'd be filled with the Holy Ghost to preach. And God, help me share Jesus Christ and the Word and share this concerning faith that you have laid upon my heart that I pray you'd use it deep inside of all of us and help us, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. I pray for Brother Tim tonight. That's the way he's preaching. I pray you'd help him. And Father, bless him and use him for your glory. We'll thank you and praise you. I pray for all the revivals in progress around us. I pray for those going mission trips and those away in missionaries preaching. I pray for our people and ask that God stir our hearts here that we have a desire to be that witness that Brother Mark talked about. I thank you for what you're doing. I pray, God, you continue working in our hearts, bringing conviction to all of us and help all of us see our need. And Father, we are needy people. Stand before you tonight and ask for divine help and pray you rebuke the devil, powers of evil, plead the blood of Jesus and say thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Sunday night, I was trying to share with you out of Hebrews chapter 3, and we talked about some things that were not the hindrances for entering into Canaan land when Israel got to Kadesh Barnea. It was not because they did not know the will of God. They did know the will of God. And God had said, I'm going to take you into the promised land, land flowing milk. They knew that, but they wouldn't believe God and go in when they got to Kadesh Barnea. And it wasn't because they hadn't seen the power of God. They'd seen it in Egypt, seen the Red Sea, had seen it through the wilderness, and still they would not believe and go in. They was not because they had not seen fruit. They had seen fruit. They brought back fruit from that land. The spies did. They'd seen what a good land it was, but yet would not believe God and go in. They did desire something better because they murmured about what they had and where they were. And they desired something better, but they would not believe God and go in. I say to you tonight that you and I, we know the will of God is to stir our hearts. The will of God is for us to see revival come in our hearts, our lives, our church, our community, our area. We want to see God do something. And we've seen the power of God move around here. We're no stranger seeing God do something and real conviction come. And we've seen that in days gone by. And we've seen God convict hearts in days recently and bring people in, get people excited about it. We're thankful for that. Brother Mark's testimony tonight, I'm thankful. You know what? That was showing the power of God working in his heart and God doing something. And then the fruit of that, we've seen the fruit of that change God makes in lives and people getting help when they get saved and what it does for them and what it does for us that are saved when we're revived. How much it helps. He stirs our heart. Brother Mark, just right now, standing there testifying, tears running down his face. Telling about that because he had a testimony for God. I say, praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. I praise God for it. I do desire something better. Preacher, don't you think God's been good? God has been good. And God's good all the time. God's been good to us around here. He's blessed us recently in ways we probably take for granted, but we need to praise him and thank him for it. But I tell you right now, I desire to see my heart stirred and have a greater desire to see people saved. I desire that I have more concern about helping other folk come to know Jesus. I have a desire to see church filled. Have a desire to see God do a work to glorify him. Have a desire to see people out here in this community come to God and be saved. I have that desire. And so tonight, we are in that. Now, I didn't mean to re-preach all that, but I did. So there it is. But anyway, we're going in tonight to a different area and talking about, look in verse number 22 I read in your text. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, Peter was amazed because the fig tree had dried up. And Jesus had already spoken to it and told what was going to happen to it and what it would do. And it did. And then when they came by the next day, Peter was amazed at it. And Jesus simply said, have faith in God. And then began to talk about that faith and believe in God and what would happen, what could happen. And so tonight, I want to preach, just give you three things quickly about why we should have faith in God. Why does God require us and want us to have faith in him? Why God that has all power, God that created this universe, put everything in place and did all of that and can do whatever he wants to do and how he wants to do it and where he wants to do it, he can and has all power in his hand. Why does he require us to have faith in him? To get what he's talking about here, our desires, and seeing people come to Christ, seeing the church revive. Why does God require faith? And I can't give you all of them. I can give you three things tonight if God will help me do so. and why that God requires faith. But before I give you those three things, I want you to turn with me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. I'll tell you what faith is according to the Word of God. What God said in Hebrews chapter 11, and if you turn there, I'm going to give you three or four scriptures real quickly, and then I'm going to give you three things tonight briefly. And Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance. If you ever get a hold of that, and that gets a hold of your heart, you'll understand what he's saying. Faith is the substance. Notice what it says, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance. And that's exactly how God operates, by faith. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But verse number 3 says, notice what it, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which do appear, things which were made of things which do appear. Let me read that again. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What we see, they were not made of anything. This pulpit, that pew you're sitting on, it was a tree one day cut down, and that's made out of wood. And that fabric you're sitting on made in a plank somewhere. And that foam under that was made somewhere. But it was made out of material that was already here. But faith, God said, let there be, and there was. That's faith. He reached out into nothing and got a hold of something, and there it was. He just simply said, let there be, and there was. And faith is the substance. And what we're trying to believe God for? God to help us. God stir our hearts. God give us revival. God save us. God do things that we're standing in need of, and pray that God will do that tonight for us. All right, look in verse number 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's impossible to please God without faith. If we're going to do anything that'll please him, we're going to have faith and trust God for it. What is faith? Faith's the substance. Faith's believing that it is. And then if you will, look at verse number 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In other words, real faith doesn't draw back. Look at verse 39. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He's saying, in other words, if you really ever believed and got saved, you're saved forever. And those talking about drawing back, they simply didn't believe. They didn't make a step of faith and believe it. I've said this recently, and I've said it over and over. I'll say it again. You can't really be saved until you believe that you are saved. You say, preacher, I can believe that I am saved if I'm not saved. Because you have to take a step of faith and believing that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead, and believe that he died and shed his blood and took your place, and that he will save you if you'll ask and trust him, repent and turn to him. Then when you do that and you believe that God has, true to his word, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, then that being true, then you step out on faith and believe that you're saved, you're saved. Amen. But if you never step out on faith, and you just say, I hope I'm saved. I'm trying to be saved. I'm trying to think that I'm saved. That won't get it. It's stepping out on faith and believing that you are saved. And you weren't saved before you got saved. Faith is a substance. You believe you are saved. You reached out there and got a hold of what you didn't have. Amen. Praise God. I like that, because I struggled with that thing for a long, long time. And trying to be saved, trying to get myself saved, trying to be good enough. I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. I trying to get to heaven the best way I knew how, and doing all those things. But I tell you right now, until I got broken and reached out by faith and believed what God said, stepped on that, rested on that, God saved me by his marvelous grace. But I had to believe it, amen. And if I hadn't believed it, God, I'd still be unsaved. I'd still be struggling around in the darkness trying to find my way. But God Almighty gave me faith. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so that's how we get faith. I pray tonight that preaching about faith, I pray God to help us. And I don't know how far I'll go to with this before God gets through with me on faith. God's dealing with my life. God's dealing with my heart about believing him, trusting him, asking him and believing that. And so I pray God to help you. Number one, I said a while ago, the principle on which God operates. Why does God require faith? Because that is a principle upon which he operates. I gave it to you in verse number 3 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. And it's a principle which God operates is believing God. And he operates on that principle. Then he gets glory out of it. It magnifies him. And I say thank God for that privilege we have to move in that realm, to glorify him by believing him. Amen. When we don't believe him, we don't glorify him. But do you remember, I mentioned Gideon here just real recently, but you remember Gideon when he's getting ready to fight and he was going down there and fight the Midianites and Judges chapter 7. And he was he had 32,000 men. And God said, you've got too many. And Midianites were like grasshoppers, he said, spread out down through the field. And they were much, a great multitude of them. Didn't say how many, but a multitude of them. And here he had 32,000. And God said, you've got too many. You'll say you did it yourself. And said, tell those that are afraid and want to go back to go on home. 22,000 people left him at one time. That's a pretty good loss, amen. Had 10,000 left. And said, you got too many. Too many, 10,000 against a multitude down there. Thousands of Mennonites. And God told him, you got too many. He said, you take them down by the brook and prove them, the ones that lap it like a dog. You keep them, the ones that bend over and not looking for the enemy and sucking it up. Send them home. 9,700 went home. Had 300 men left. I'm sure Gideon looked around and scratched his head. But he believed God. Hadn't he not believed God, he wouldn't have went on and done what he did. But he believed God and went on and did what God told him to do. And with 300 men, God gave the victory and God got the glory. Those 300 knew they couldn't do it. They knew if victory ever came, it came because God did it. They obeyed God. They did what God said. And then God marvelously in his power, and you got to get the picture of that, thousands of Mennonites, 300 men. 300 men on three sides of the camp, and had a trumpet, had a torch in it, a torch in a pitcher rather, and when they broke the pitcher and let the light shine, blew the trumpet and shouted, and by the way, they shouted before they ever got to victory. You know why? Because they believed God. Faith is the substance. And I believe Gideon had talked to those men. I believe every one of them had got a place where they believed God. And they said, God's brought us this far. And God's told you what to do. God's got us here. Gideon, you remember when God found Gideon? He's out hiding. And God said, that man of valor, that's always tickled me. And he's hiding out there when God found him. But God saw something in him and that he would believe God. He'd act on it. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad God takes weak things and use them for his glory. I'm glad God saw something in him. And God took him and used him. And I believe he talked to those men and said, those Mennonites down there, we can't handle it. And we'll surely fail. But if we'll just do what God said to do, I believe God will do what he said he'd do. And I believe they all believed that. They stand around there, 100 in a group, 100 in a group, 100 in a group. And all of a sudden, when the signal was given, and they broke their pitcher, and the light shined, and it blew the trumpet. And the Mennonites, they ran over each other, killing each other, and had a mess down there. And Israel just chased after them and won the victory. I say glory, hallelujah. Amen. You read that story and think, well, that's nice. That's nice, nothing. That's a miracle from God. God give a great victory, amen. And a revival around here would be a great victory. And believing God, amen, moving in the realm of faith and trusting God to do that. I say hallelujah and praise God for it. You remember when Israel was crossing over Jordan? And after when they finally got through wandering around, God killed off that crowd. And Joshua and Caleb was the only ones came through it and raised up a new generation and got ready to cross over Jordan. He said, take the Ark of the Covenant. And you go ahead and you start, the priest will be carrying the Ark of the Covenant and said, now, the River Jordan, I'm going to open it up. But said, here's what I want you to do. The priest will carry that Ark, and when the sole of their foot touches the water, it'll divide. And hallelujah. Here they go, walking toward Jordan. Now faith is the substance. The river was flowing. Fact is, the Bible says it's overflowing. And they was walking toward it, carrying an ark and going to cross over. And they believed what God said. Joshua gave the order. The priest believed what God said. And God's enough. And God said he would do it. But they went as far, walking in there, until their soul, their foot touched the water, and then it parted, and they walked through on dry ground. I say hallelujah. Amen. What if they stood there and said, well, I'm not sure about this. I tires of water and it hadn't done a thing yet. It hadn't moved. It's still flowing. It's overflowing. And nothing's changed. And I don't know if I want to step in there or not. But they did. And God did. And I say hallelujah. What we do sometimes, we get up to the edge of the river. And we think, well, God said he would. But I'm not so sure right now that he'll do that. And we back up. Amen. Know me. That's exactly how we handle it. And we've been like those that went back home been afraid, but Gideon, it been up to us to go out there with 300 men and fight. A lot of times we'd have said, we can't do that. It can't be done. What we say, God gets glory when we act on faith and trust him to help us. Amen. And when we step out, it gives God. Why does God require faith anyway? It honors God. It honors God. It's that principle that he operates on. So, but if it honors God, it hinders our enemy. I'm glad for that. Praise God. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. I say hallelujah. Amen. It hinders the devil from his work. And by the way, he is our adversary in this world. He is our adversary. That's 1 Peter 5:8-9. I say to you tonight, we can have victory over him. Whatsoever is born to God overcometh the world. And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How are you going to overcome? By faith. How are you going to live victorious? By faith. How are you going to believe that the devil is defeated? By faith. How are you going to believe that the devil won't hinder revival? Because we believe God's more strong than the devil. Amen. And because we trust God and step by faith, hey, we need to believe God to hinder the devil. Somebody said, the devil's giving me an awful time. Well, the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil. I say to you tonight, if we resist him, he'll flee. But if you just open the door to him, he'll come in. And he'll make himself at home if you're not careful. And I'm not talking about the devil getting you lost. I'm not talking about possessing your life. I'm not talking about giving him any leeway at all in your life. He'll take advantage of it. He'll do what he can. But when we believe God, it hinders the devil from what he wants to do. What the devil wants to do? The devil wants to get you messed up, get you so messed up with somebody that you lose your joy, and then you don't have any joy, and you can't tell anybody about Jesus. You don't get excited about revival. Don't pray about it because you're upset at somebody. And then it may be that, if it's not that, it may be that the job gets bad and situation and you're struggling with that, and that becomes a problem. But as Brother Puckett testified tonight, I'm glad we got a great God can handle situations and help us. Hallelujah. Amen. And pray and believe God to do something and trust God for that. I say tonight, it hinders the devil in all his work that he does. The devil wants to, but if you'll let God help you, God will help you. I want you to turn with me in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, if you would please. Ephesians 6, and starting at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, give you time to turn there. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the faith. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. I love that. I like the way God put that. Having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But notice this next verse. Pay close attention to it. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I say to you tonight, all that armor is important. All of it's good. I wanted to read the whole context to you because I wanted you to see it like it is in context of Scripture. And God's given the armor that we need. But he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil will shoot a fiery dart just as sure as you start praying for somebody, asking God to save them, asking God to bring them to revival, asking God to help you get them to church, or asking God to give you an opportunity. The devil will start shooting that fiery dart of doubt at you, saying it won't happen. They won't come. And you're not going to see that. The devil will do everything he can to shoot those fire. What the Bible said to do? Hold up the shield of faith and believe God. Amen. And trust God. I can't get over what he said there. About faith is being the substance and how God operates. If you and I would pray for God to say and really get a burden about it, get down to, I make sure our lives where we can pray, having forgiven others, having our hearts right, and nothing stand between us and our fellowship with God, and making sure we can pray and believe God. And then if we make a step of faith, I'm not saying we can be saved for them, or we can make them be saved, but we can sure believe that God will back them in a corner and convict them and draw them and bring them to the house of God. Amen. We can believe God for that. We can trust God for that. I've got a lot of people told me different testimonies concerning this, but I had a teenage girl down in Urban, Tennessee come to me. And I've been preaching on faith, and she'd had a granddad. She'd trying to get to church. And she came to me one Sunday morning and said, granddad's a coming and next Sunday. And she said, I said, he is? She said, yeah, I believe he is. And she said, I've asked God, I've asked him, and I believe God's going to do it. Next Sunday morning, grandpa walked in. Amen. I believe that we can believe God. I believe we can make a step of faith. I believe we can put it into action. Amen. And trust God. And so, you know what? I guess this is honest confession, do good for all of us. What really happens to me sometimes is I'm going to believe God, and then I find myself, wonder if it really happened. Y'all don't do that, do you? Y'all really full of faith, and y'all just believe God and go on. No, all of us in the same boat. We all have problems with it. We take a step of faith to believe God, then we're not too sure about it. Well, I got to hurry. It honors God, it hinders our enemy, but it also helps our troubles. Oh, thank God, it helps our trouble. Psalm said in Psalm 56 and 3, I believe it is, says, when what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. I say, hallelujah. I'm glad when I'm afraid, I can trust in him. Amen. And Paul said over in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, he said, for the which cause we also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. Now I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I say to you tonight, Paul was talking about the verse previous to that, that he was a preacher, teacher of the Gentiles, and said, for this cause I suffer these things. In other words, somebody's going to talk about you, and somebody's going to ridicule you, and somebody's going to throw some darts at you, and somebody's going to try to hinder you, but just go ahead and believe God anyhow. It'll help your trouble. You say, I tried to witness, but it gets worse. They don't like it. Paul suffered too, but he said, I'm persuaded whom I believed. I say glory to God. Let's believe God and trust God to give us real victory. Well, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to prolong an invitation tonight. I want the pianist to play, and not any singing right now. I want you to stand to your feet with your heads bowed, eyes closed. While you stand there, if you need to come and bow and just say, God, I'd like to give you honor by believing you. There's something I need to come and I'm praying about and I want to believe you about it. Some folk are coming and bowing. You need to trust God. You need to take that step of faith. Trust God for something. Good time to come. These folk are praying.